Welcome to Mobility at Microsoft Subject Matter Expert, or SME, Roundtable. Hi, I'm Sherry Battine. I'll be your host today. We are the IT Showcase team, and we love to talk to you, our customers, about how Microsoft does IT. Today, I'm here with many of our IT experts that support mobility solutions at Microsoft. This is your opportunity to ask direct questions of our SMEs and receive candid answers. We would like to learn a little bit about you before we get started, so we've posted a question in your window. What is your biggest challenge in the enterprise mobility space? How you answer this question will appear on a screen in front of us, and it'll help us shape the answers to your questions. You can start posting your questions now in the window. And if you have feedback for the product teams, we are now collecting feedback. We have a direct relationship with the product teams, and we will collect up your feedback and deliver it to those teams. So please go ahead and feel free to submit those as well. I'm now going to ask our SMEs to introduce themselves, and we'll start with Darren.
All right. Hello, I'm Darren Moffitt. I'm a service engineer here at Microsoft. I focus on Office 365 and SharePoint. And I like to automate most of my job.
Hi, my name is Arun Maningal. I'm a senior software engineer. My team is responsible for the strategy, design, and development of hyperscale services that power some of our core mobility scenarios critical for our functioning.
Hi, my name is Mike DeGoyer. Welcome. I work in the user experience services team at Microsoft here in IT. We cover everything from mobile device management, application provisioning, software distribution, client settings, and work directly with the Intune and System Center product team on management of multi-platform. So anything across Mac, iOS, Android, and of course Microsoft, our primary provider.
We are going to make every effort in the next hour to get through all of your questions. However, if we don't, We'll stay behind in the studio and continue answering your questions and post the extended footage online when we post this video on Microsoft.com/IT Showcase. And with that, we'll take our first question. This is for you, Darren.
Okay.
How has mobility impacted the ability to manage Office 365?
Okay. Well, it's actually made it considerably easier. Coming back from a world before Office 365, administration mostly had to be done in an office, had to be done on specific computers. We had a lot of strict policy. Nowadays, with Office 365, one of the things is responsiveness. When there's security incidents or management incidents where maybe an engineer needs to come in and reconfigure Office 365 quickly, or maybe we need to investigate a user profile, I can actually do it from my phone now. We have a great Office 365 administration app on platforms like iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, and it's never been easier to pull my phone out, even in a Vegas casino, and basically be able to disable an account if HR requests it. Maybe there was a configuration change made by one of our support teams that shouldn't have been made, and they're like, Darren, can you investigate it and change it? Yeah, I can pull my phone out. 5 seconds later, I'm administrating an entire enterprise from my phone, which to me is an amazing difference from back when I'd have to lug a laptop around and make sure that it was properly domain joined, and if a policy was not quite right, then I wasn't getting access to administrate anything. So it certainly has simplified and increased our responsiveness. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
But we do use MFA too.
Yes. He's
to make
absolutely
sure
right.
You are.
Yeah.
You
we do use MFA, so
multi-factor authentication.
If during that you were like, hey, what happens if you lose your phone in that Vegas casino? What happens then? Well, there is some MFA requirements as well too that would ensure that either I have an authenticator or a phone that number that I can call and I can make sure that it is really me. Yeah. No problems there.
Glad you clarified that.
Yes.
Don't want people to be confused.
Sometimes the brave new world is a little scary, but not really.
Well, it looks like security is a primary concern so far, so.
Okay. Yeah. This is a lengthy one. My company is moving our computers from domain join machines to Azure Intune. We are trying to migrate our GPO settings to the Azure Intune environment and can't seem to find any information on how to easily migrate the settings. Is there an automation tool or a set of scripts that will enable us to mirror our security settings in the GPOs to Azure Intune using configuration items?
I'll take that one. So that's a great question. So actually, it should be, if it's not on Download Center, it will be soon. So actually, over the past 3 to 4 months, we've been working directly with the developer of the tool. Essentially, in the next release of Windows, and I thought 2 weeks ago they just released it publicly, actually, because we did the final testing on it. But they actually do have a new tool. I forget the full name. Look up MMAT. It's like the Mike managed. I forgot the full name of it. The code name. Forgive me. It's MMAT tool. But essentially, the tool is built for running against a device. It'll check all the GPOs on the device, and then it looks for which one of those can actually migrate to the mobile structure or the Intune and online scenario. So the Windows team is wholly invested in this for the next release that's coming out in through 3 months. But the tool should be available now. And if you can't reach it, you can always reach back to us here through the forum here, and I can actually reach directly to you and get that information for the link for where that tool is. But we've run it. The nice thing is when you're doing the compare on the device, you can actually see, you'll be surprised what is a GPO and what other settings are being put in your environment outside of a GPO that are likely on your device that you probably hadn't considered. That's one of the areas we found when we ran the tool. And we're actually doing the analysis right now on all the device settings that are going to migrate from group policy to MDM management or Intune management in the next 6 months. So an interesting comparison, just so people get an idea. From our environment, excuse me, if you look at Internet Explorer policies, in our environment, through this analysis, we found literally 1,500 to 1,800 policies that are across Internet Explorer and Edge, which sounds a little bit insane, and it is. So we actually have done analysis, and we brought that back down to literally 52 policies.
Wow.
That we will likely migrate to MDM. And of those 52, we'll probably only implement about 8. So if you think about this transition from corporate to MDM and online, we're literally going to go from, 1,800 policies down to 52 that are options in the next version of Windows, RS2, or whatever the full name will be. And then enterprises will likely implement only about 10.
So how did you do that?
Difference.
I mean, what did you find that made up those extra ones, the 1,300 or?
A lot of it is legacy and cleanup. A lot of it is a matter of, because we do a lot of testing around here, we also have a lot of just stuff that gets left, to be honest. People do something, they'll have an IE setting, and they just leave it there, and then we find out that was for, browser 6.0 or something. Mm-hmm. Kind of crazy. So we have a number of those. And then there's just the reality that people are peeling back to the onion to what is the absolute minimum that you need on a device. So, for example, some of the IE settings we're focused on is a simple, how do you migrate your favorites, right? How are favorites managed? It's a huge thing for the user. It's very user-centric and facing, but we're focused on things like that, not so much how do we put 25 settings for a security side? Because most of those inbox now cover what you need. IT doesn't necessarily need to go out and reset, 20 different settings for IE just from a security standpoint. We really don't do that anymore like we used to.
That's a very valid point that you touched upon as to how the legacy, so to speak, garbage that lies around needs to be consciously moved out, and you should not just do a blind lift and shift over to your newer environments.
Yeah.
And the same is true when we talk about SharePoint migrations.
Absolutely.
Any migration,
absolutely.
Really. You want to clean the house before you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's been one of the best parts of moving to a more mobile space is the ability to clean everything.
Absolutely.
One of the biggest things, too, and it's kind of taking a step back, is A lot of IT houses out there don't get a budget to do cleanup or resources to do cleanup, and this is one of those opportunities to build that in your mm-hmm. migration to a more mobile space, is to say, hey, we need to do this cleanup. It's going to save us more money in the long term, and it gives you the perfect opportunity to do some housekeeping. Absolutely. Yeah.
The intangible benefits are immense. I mean, there might be a short-term pain, but that intangible benefit, which you may not be able to directly correlate with your cost or budgeting, but that's an important aspect we need to be aware of.
Yeah, and sometimes you might be able to correlate. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I do want to add on to what Mike said. If you have a question for us, the way to contact us, we have an email alias, showcase@microsoft.com. So if there's follow-up needed. Follow-up question. So if you join Intune, does this mean this would... does this mean this would be various work group computers or bring your own devices?
Yes. Yeah, so Intune actually, it supports, there's a couple options you have within Intune when you're working with devices. There's, for example, when a person joins a device to Intune, you have the ability for a person to create classes. Classes, organizational units, whatever you want to term it. And you can actually define those as an enterprise. So for example, what you can do, or one thing we've looked at, we haven't implemented, but just be clear, we've looked at, is when a person enrolls a device, is it a corporate asset or is it a personal asset? BYOD or is it corporate owned? With us, we have a mixed environment here, right? Not everyone, depending on what country you're in, how the device is provided, who's paying for the device, are you paying for it out of your own stuff? We have a huge mix here at Microsoft. So one thing you can do in Intune is you can actually categorize that device. And literally during the enrollment process, I can bring up a user interface that says, classify this device. And the user has to do that as part of the step. So they can say, this is corporate, this is private, this is, you can make up your own. And you can have as many as you want. And when you do that, what happens in the back end is it actually creates a collection. So then you can apply specific policies to the device. So literally, you could come up with a scenario where you said, make a one that says, I'm part of this, five organizations. And then based upon those five organizations, you have different policies, different applications, whatever that you apply to that group. You could have that as part of your enrollment strategy, that people have to classify that device. And then it basically, you can automate the back end of the distribution of certificates, applications, VPN, whatever you want to do to that class mm-hmm. of devices. So it's an incredibly powerful tool. We're looking at it in more of the how do you classify a BYOD corporate owned scenario. I don't know if we'll use it because at the end of the day, there's very little difference between, we don't treat a device different whether it's corporate owned or bring your own. We treat them basically the same. So. For us, it may have little value and more user impact than worth implementing, but for other organizations, it has a huge option and benefit.
Yeah. Why is Intune management not supported on Edge 2 years after Edge's launch? This might be a product group feedback type question, but do we have any answers there?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't, not specifically.
We'll just take that comment
that's
feedback. As feedback for the product team. So we'll capture that.
And this is something our audience could also go to a site called connect.microsoft.com, wherein they get a chance to upvote their requests so that it bubbles up on the top of the stack and gets prioritized.
So keep giving that feedback.
Yeah.
Great. Integrate security features like WIP in Windows 10 Mobile in Intune. So,
yep. I know about this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Right. just to give people kind of a broad. So, WIP has Windows. I forgot the full acronym name, Insight Protection or whatever. It's changed names a couple times. It used to be Enterprise Data Protection. Now it's like Windows Insider Protection. Essentially, it's how do you protect data and put data policies on a device when they're managed in a certain way. So we are doing this full force at Microsoft today. We have about 10,000 people across our Windows organization, IT, et cetera, that are actually using the WIP platform to enable policies on devices. So as they kind of complete the next version of Windows over the next probably 2 to 3 months, you'll start to see those bleed into Intune. Essentially, it comes down to a development roadmap. I hate to say it's that simple, but it really is, because what we're seeing a lot of times in WIP is a great example, or enterprise data protection. You have the Windows team is working on a certain feature for the OS release, and the management suite, whether it be Intune or System Center, they can't build their code until code A is done. It's just a way. We have a great scenario even with BitLocker today. You will be able to, via MDM, enable BitLocker encryption in the next version of Windows. That code is complete. It's ready to go. We're actually testing that this week, and that's a feature that a lot of people around the security space have been asking for 6 months. So it works. We're validating it. Literally yesterday, I looked at results on a test device. But if you look at from an Intune management and an MDM console perspective, you have to use a custom configuration to enable it, because Windows finishes their code in December. Intune SCCM Hybrid, which is what we're on, and Microsoft IT is in a hybrid environment. We're on the code for hybrid, which gets released in 1702 or in February. And so there's literally not enough runtime for a developer to get the code during Christmas, write the code, have it fully tested in 3 weeks, because Microsoft IT also runs a month ahead of when you receive, say, SCCM Hybrid 1702. So we run 1702 in 1701. So pretty much in the next 3 weeks, we'll be running the next build before you are for about a month to make sure all those bugs are fixed. So it's just a development cycle. Mm-hmm. And I think our customers will start to see the natural cadence of this more and more in the future, right? It's the same thing with Office or SharePoint. Yeah. They come out with features on a monthly basis. Intune and the MDM have to say, okay, there's the new feature, now I got to implement that new feature and the controls to implement that feature. But we can't build until they build.
It's true, yeah. It's all one rich tapestry.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
That is a chicken egg.
Then about how much of a time from when the product team delivers it to when it does end up in the management console for the customer?
Great question. So if you're running Intune standalone, you're going to see things incredibly fast within, say, 1 to 3 months typically. So all those features, they're revving literally on a monthly basis. If you're on hybrid, you're typically more about 4 months behind, just because it's on a four-month cycle. So 1702, 1706, 1710. Just to give people a reassurance, the product team is very much in front of this. So I'm already queuing up features for 1706 that are being devved in the next version of Windows that's literally they're actively devving on right now. They're going to be coming out in the next month or so. So they're finalizing code here, and I'm already working with them to ensure that 1706 SCCM Hybrid Intune gets those features and capabilities. So the teams are very tightly integrated and working together.
That's good to know. Here's a little feedback on a previous answer. Thanks, that was an awesome explanation. Nice. Can you send me the link after the meeting for the MMAT tool?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And I'm wondering,
we'd love to get your feedback on that too.
If we can get our help over here to look up that link and maybe provide it out, would that be possible? Okay, they're going to be looking for it.
Yeah.
Great. Next question. I am rolling out Intune to enable bring your own device capabilities to a large user base and would like to automate as much as possible, but I don't see much information on using PowerShell to export settings from a test tenant to a production tenant. Is there a plan to allow for full setting automation?
That's a good question.
I don't know about full setting. Typically what we've seen, even though we don't do it, it's fully supported in what I've Many enterprises that I discuss, what they're doing is they will actually pre-configure everything for the device, or they bulk enroll devices, which is fully supported by Intune. So the hard part is when you get into a BYOD scenario and you're enrolling a lot of devices, because there isn't a way to I mean, we don't have any device information. There's no way to do that. But if you are providing the device, then you can go through, you can bulk enroll, you can provision, you can create the collections, you can have them change at first, change their password at first logon. All that stuff is available, as well as to run the PowerShell scripts, et cetera. So it is available, but mainly it's a bulk enrollment scenario today.
So they would bulk enroll in a test environment and then do the same bulk enroll in a production environment? Or
you bulk enroll offline, and then when you hand the device, the person will be enrolled in the production environment.
So in that scenario, there isn't really a test environment?
No, they would do all the testing kind of outside of that.
Okay. We have experienced performance difficulties with Outlook for Android and have heard this is an issue across multiple companies. Is this something that is being looked at by the product group? And I don't know if we have the answer to
That's an app-specific question.
Yeah, so we will take that feedback. We'll add that to our product group feedback that we'll be providing to them.
Yeah, I do know that the Outlook product group is looking at that. On the Android App Store, there has been a fair bit of feedback. And the history to the Outlook app was it was an acquisition, at least in Android. So they've been working fairly aggressively at trying to get the performance nailed out, continue to give it kind of the consistent Microsoft experience, as well as just general product improvements. So I know they're looking at it, but it would definitely be great feedback for the Outlook team to know that it is affecting our customers at an enterprise level, because of course.
Yeah.
In the App Store, you only see the individual user pain. So.
Something really cool to that nature, just so people are aware of how telemetry and everything is changing in the online world. The telemetry and data that is captured by the Office team, I actually saw a demo of it yesterday because our team owns supportability, so we actually look at crashes for our internal users, be it on Android, iOS, all platforms, and we are taking that data from the actual Office product and using it just like the Office team. So the Office team actually will look at, here's the hang crashes, here's what happened on the device. They have that data, and then they actually can correlate that with customer sentiment to see what the impacts are for people's satisfaction. So be rest assured, the Office team has the data, they're using it, and even we are actually helping them develop how do you strategize around what you're gonna fix using that data, because we went through it yesterday with our team, and it's awesome insight as to how we can direct.
Yeah. So you can prioritize what's hitting the most people, you can prioritize higher.
Yep.
And just to take that further, this is the same policy that we're following, not just for our super successful products. It's for any cloud service that power any of your apps and whatnot. And this is one aspect that we want our customers also to take away. When you have your mobile apps and aspects like that, invest in a telemetry solution that gets you real-time insights. Because especially in an app scenario, in a mobile world, customers want things right now, right here. And the time to react and get a better experience is reducing and shrinking, and real-time telemetry and aspects like these, and data science on top of that can be a huge aspect that can move the needle in a positive direction.
And it helps us get ahead of it, right?
Absolutely.
Where we don't have to have someone reporting a problem before we know there's a problem.
Exactly. So, and that's also a big paradigm shift in the way we develop things right now. It's, as Mike referred to it, that we strategize on what needs to be fixed or what needs to be delivered. There is a conscious effort to deliver features based on data we receive rather than whims and fancies or assumptions that was built into the system earlier. So that's a key needle to move.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have that information. So you're making informed decisions.
Absolutely.
For mid-sized businesses, do you see elimination of on-premises domains and switching to Azure domain membership, or completely standalone devices managed by Intune?
That is a loaded question.
That's some amount of
confusion. So explain, what's loaded about it?
Well, so there's a couple different shifts there. So there's the idea that, they're retiring on-prem domains and moving to what we consider the one domain to rule them all, which would be Azure AD, and then, of course, the other path, which would be purely just having devices managed by Intune. And I know that when we were just talking earlier, that with large-scale businesses, we're still functioning in a hybrid environment. I know Microsoft, we're still functioning in a very specific blend between on-prem and online. And I don't necessarily know if I think our goal is to get to pure Azure AD with Intune, a kind of a hybrid in the cloud, but that hybrid only existing in the cloud versus being on-prem. But I think in this context,
it's a mid-sized company. It makes sense that our vision can be fructified in that.
Absolutely, yeah. With a mid-sized company, there's a lot less line of business applications which have those, I guess for lack of a better term, hardwired dependencies on an on-prem environment.
Yep.
And then a lot of mid-sized businesses, it's easier to make that shift.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, because you've got less devices to manage. Security and the different, you may have different teams that have different security requirements, specifically, unlike us, less domains to have to move off of, so.
Yeah, and if it's a greenfield implementation, definitely it makes long-term strategic sense going all into the cloud with the Azure AD aspects. With brownfield,
and that's for new development,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, now new developments like the greenfield operations that we'll have. For brownfield things like the way how Darren was mentioning, because if you have something to manage based out of legacy, that's when that hybrid play kicks in. And we have offerings in that place also, which is a good proposition that we can provide for the new ones as well as the existing ones.
Okay, and what about standalone devices managed by Intune going the other direction? Is that something?
Mike might be better to speak to this one.
There's one other third aspect, and I think if I look at the device management continuum and where we're at today and where we're headed, here's kind of my view on it. We're kind of starting to move to that cloud first. So if you look at our Intune implementation, we have 80 to 90,000 devices, 20 to 25,000 of those are Windows PCs. So the PC direction for Microsoft in general is moving to cloud, absolutely. That being said, the question was about should you have some of the on-prem stuff still stay? So I think your company has to take a hard security look at what are the assets that you need to protect in that inner bubble. Because typically that inner bubble or shell or whatever you want to call it requires those on-prem services. And so you may say, look, I want to get it wholly away from that. But for example, for us, source code management is probably the keys to the kingdom. Is our source code management going to move fully offline and everything else and not require certain domain credentials and a certain higher level of security on the domain for connectivity, et cetera? Well, probably not. We're not just going to take all that and move it out to the cloud. We moved the processing, we moved our tasks, we moved the everything else, but the actual source code itself, I don't know. And so I think even some of the financial data, there are certain requirements from the FCC and all these guys that say, look, you have to move certain data or keep it on-prem for a certain time period. It's a legal requirement. So I think for large corporations, for probably the next 10 years, you'll have this very small and shrinking group of assets. And I think one by one, industry by industry, they'll start to hit those off. Healthcare is probably another key area where there's certain requirements where you'll start to tackle them one by one as the industry and the online services start to hit those.
And every business out there, large or mid-size or small, need to decide what that is for them.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then the only thing to add is there's a third layer that I'll mention here, which is mobile application management, which is all policy, non-enrollment based scenarios. So we are looking very heavily at, and it's a simple question, when will application management policies be equal to device enrollment? Because the reality today is people do not want to enroll devices. They hate it. The thought of them losing a photo of their, you know, child's fifth birthday is terrifying, that IT is going to touch that device and they're going to lose that photo. So I get it. We totally understand it. And so what we're doing, and actually literally we're having these conversations this week, last week, we're in the process, we're evaluating, we're testing. When will mobile application management policies and what scenarios can we apply where a user doesn't have to enroll? So if I'm using some of the Outlook apps or accessing SharePoint, do I really need to enroll the device? If I'm applying MAM policies that require encryption and require PIN and MFA, well, if I'm already doing those things when you're accessing Outlook or SharePoint or Excel or any of these docs, do I really need to manage the device? Like, what else am I going to gain? Yeah. And the answer is not much, to be honest. So so I think there's that third tier, and at least from my perspective, this is Mike going way out. My actual focus now is driven toward that application management policy scenario, because I think that's where users are headed, I think that's where devices are headed, and I think that's where the industry as a whole, from a MDM perspective, is going to go to this MAM-enabled or application management scenario, where it's what resource am I accessing, and then define the access requirements based upon that resource, not just a, hey, my device is always managed. But then again, if you're in a legal department and you're in a bank, you're probably always going to be managed. So I think that's where the industry plays in.
Okay.
And
great.
The compliances that are very unique to that industry that really determines what we do.
Yep.
Can Intune support multiple terms and conditions presented to users during enrollment for different countries, languages, et cetera?
I got this one. Absolutely. So within the actual Intune console, you can configure multiple terms of use. The only part that gets tricky is how you define those collections, because it uses the AAD attributes, which if you look at based upon, if you take on-prem AD and you can get very granular for, say, location, AAD you cannot. AAD is a lot broader, so you have to be a little bit creative in how you define the collections for where those apply. But yeah, you can just go into the console and create, and then apply it to a specific group.
Okay.
We're looking at using that, by the way.
This is maybe a product group question. Is there a roadmap for Intune and Configuration Manager to become one product, or will they remain separate products?
Yeah, and that sounds more product group.
Yeah, we don't.
We don't.
Android.
We don't know.
This time.
Okay. Yeah. We'll pass that on to the product group. So.
Long term, you will see one solution. What form that takes, we're working with the product team to help align that strategy. But I think the writing's on the wall, which is Intune MDM management and online services is a key focus. So whether that becomes a new product, you know, System Intune, I don't know. I don't know.
You heard it here forward.
I don't know whatever it'd be, but. But yeah, absolutely. I think it is a focus for, it's just a transition in management, right?
Yeah.
Online capability, online services are where everything is going. So it's just a matter of what that looks like in the future.
How should engineering teams be structured to be able to catch the wave of mobility?
Great question. So we always try to think of mobility as something on a mobile device and aspects like that. However, the apps aspect and the other peripheral aspects around how that experience is delivered and how soon it is made available to the users also needs to be kept in mind. This is where the engineering aspects come in, and this is where DevOps, investing in DevOps, like the way I alluded to earlier, investing in telemetry. When you have these things combined, come together, they act as a good catalyst for your engineering teams to deliver capabilities that users are using, and in a manner that they are snackable. That's one other aspect of mobility, that you are not building all capabilities into one, you know, polyglot app and delivering it. You are trying to build apps that do one function nicely in a quick way that is doable. So engineering teams also have to have that paradigm shift wherein they think of scenarios end to end rather than just being, hey, I'm a database expert, or I'm a middleware expert, or I'm a UX expert. That whole scenario, how it lines up, also needs to be blended. So that's why you'll see certain skill sets morphing into blending into multiple roles and aspects like that, which is crucial for the success successful rollouts of these scenarios.
Absolutely, and one thing I can add to that from my own engineering team is the cross silo, the blending.
Yeah.
Yes, we have SharePoint engineers, we have O365 mm-hmm. core automation engineers, we have Skype, we have Exchange. The funny thing is, we're all the same team now. So
exactly.
We self-organize, so
exactly.
There may be products or projects where Skype's having a problem, they'll pull me in, or they'll pull our Exchange architect in, and it may be, hey, well, we solved this problem with SharePoint by automating this piece, or there may be some licensing issues enabled to.
Yeah,
so yeah, that cross-silo boundary and the self-organization is really how engineering teams should structure. I think one of the common mistakes we see even in our own company
mm-hmm.
sometimes is engineering teams still have these silos, and
yeah.
they work within their silo, and be anybody who leaves their silo, but
they may build a great product
exactly.
within
yeah.
their silo, but
yeah.
if it doesn't play nicely,
you don't talk to other
yeah.
people, and even we see that with other teams that we work mm-hmm. with, where it's like, well, why didn't product team A talk to product team B? And we're seeing
yeah.
less of that now, but
yeah.
self-organization, especially with the glue coming in Office 365, like Power Apps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Power Apps is it's a beautiful thing. I call it the glue of Office 365 because it's one of those products that is now spanning SharePoint, Skype, Exchange.
Dynamics.
So
your business is also
yeah.
kind of blended into that. And another key thing is around the culture of incentivizing this cross-pollinating behavior. It's also a cultural incentive that the leadership can provide. That's what I'm speaking from my own experience. And when that incentivization has kicked in, subsequent to that, you see a lot more people willing to engage, wanting to ensure the success of the scenario versus their own shiny accomplishment, which is critical in the modern world in order to ensure your customers get what they want, rather than your technology focused development, which is the crux of what we do.
That sounds good. Next question. Is there a migration path from another MDM to Intune?
Yep, absolutely. From we migrate people all the time from other ones, AirWatch, MobileIron, et cetera. So, There's actually quite a few white papers, and we even have a dedicated team in Intune to help with that migration. Like, for example, I'll just throw out one of the scenarios that a lot of companies seem to be adopting that we talk with them about, which is you can have an AirWatch still do your mobile device management, and then you can use the Azure console or the Avisa console and roll out MAM policy with Intune. Because remember, MAM, or Application Management Policy, is headless. You don't need any type of agent on the device or any type of MDM authority. So you can actually have the device in AirWatch, and then you can say, I want to apply Office policies or these policies to encrypt the device, PIN, et cetera, whatever you want to do, through Intune. So you can have both. And then as you slowly migrate, that's your first step. So we're seeing a lot of companies do that, where they can say, look, I can take advantage of limited management and then start to bleed over new devices into the new Intune management suite and into the console as devices age out.
It's not necessarily a all or nothing. You can have a roadmap
yeah.
set in place, because if you would have definitely have invested in some other tool sets, and there is
yep.
a certain roadmap, which is a good win for our customers.
Yeah, rip and replace is kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. Makes for long weekends or
downtime.
Probably not the best scenario.
Yeah.
If you join/connect Windows 10 to Workplace, not domain join device,
mm-hmm.
how this affects the ability to manage this device by IT? In this case, what is the best practice? Require Intune agent or other comments?
I got that one.
That's a mic question.
Yeah. ironically, I actually helped build the feature, and I'm still working on that directly with the product team, that exact feature in Windows. So one of the huge benefits, the way we have it configured, there's one principle your company needs to consider, which is how do you want devices to enroll by default? So what we've done is actually enabled Azure and Intune connection so that by default, so if a person goes in to add their work or school account, you can actually configure it so that it adds them into Intune and MDM management with seamless. Literally, the person goes in, they add their account. If they're non-domain joined or off in Starbucks or somewhere, then they'll MFA. As soon as they MFA, that device is enrolled in Intune. That's all they do. It's incredibly simple. They're also in the next version of Windows going to be enabling the terms scenario where you can actually give them a screen that says, hey, here's the five or six things that a company will or won't do to the device. So that's another cool aspect that's coming from the next version of Windows and the MDM integration. So we use that today. We've had it configured for, probably almost 2 years, which is why we have, 20, 25,000 devices of everyday users like Darren at Microsoft that enroll their PC in Intune, and they're off the domain and have been for quite a while.
2 years and counting. So.
Yep.
Okay. Has the ability of mobile apps like SharePoint improved the Office 365 mobile experience?
Nice. We were just talking about this one earlier, too. It has. One of the biggest pieces of criticism, I guess, we've gotten, at least within MSIT, was that, well, frankly, using SharePoint on a browser window on a small device sucks. Tablets, not much better. A computer, manageable. But definitely the tablets and the phones have been one of the hardest things in mobility for us to tackle. A lot of it came down to custom master pages or people editing some of the mobile experiences. Or worse yet, if you're a SharePoint designer, having to design different types of master pages and different types of customizations for different, basically every type of mobile device you can conceive, the SharePoint app makes that easy. It's for the people that just want access to SharePoint data, for instance, you download the app, you install it, it cuts through all that and basically gets you right to the files and the apps and the functions that you need out of SharePoint. I know Microsoft Teams is another really hot one right now. We needed something that allowed us to compete in that space where people just want to pull their phone out and talk and collaborate persistently with other people in their team. And, having a lightweight, snackable, as you call it, snackable app has been, a huge improvement. We have not seen adoption of a product internally when it comes to our collaboration apps like we have with Microsoft Teams. And yeah. SharePoint usage has definitely gone up maybe about 10-15% now in the mobile space since the application's been available. So it has made a huge difference. I think Mike might be able to speak a little more to whether or not it's impacted our ability to manage those devices, but I think it's, in a sense, made it easier, maybe.
Yeah, one of the... like we were talking about earlier, one of the scenarios that, and I think this gets down to the general theory, concept of what we talk about in this forum, how is manageability changing? And so one of the things that Darren and I were talking about before this even started was, how can we actually use SharePoint for different scenarios? For example, our device enrollment information for how a person enrolls a device, it's all on SharePoint. Well, if our entire workflow process changes to where we say, look, just install the SharePoint app and go to this aka.ms or go to this URL, and it's a really simple URL, and everyone in the company can be like, oh, I just go to X store on whatever platform, iOS, Android, Microsoft, I install the app, I authenticate, and bam, I have my enrollment instructions for everything I need to do from a BYOD device and everything scenario. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So. I would say embrace these kind of changes.
Absolutely.
Go after it.
Yeah. I work in SharePoint all the time, and I'm now, from this conversation today, going to download the app.
And that's that cool. Actually is an interesting trend in the industry, not just with enterprise, but may have even been one of the things I've been hearing is that people aren't accessing they're accessing the internet, but they're not accessing it through a browser. They're accessing it through apps.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time you have people say, well, okay, this is a great service, but it doesn't have an app. So I don't really feel like going and bringing up a browser page. There's certain functionality that they crave, like maybe notifications and stuff. And while browsers have gotten better at allowing sites to send you notifications, that manageability is still not there. I mean, if I allowed Chrome to do every notification, I don't think I would ever stop seeing them.
Don't allow.
Exactly.
Use my location. Don't allow.
Yeah, applications. Okay, if this application is going to be really annoying, I give the developers some really bad feedback saying, guys, you're killing my battery here. Yeah. Then I uninstall it. So I think from a manageability as a regular user, it's easier for me to manage those little icons on my phone than it is to have to manage Chrome's notification process. So we access the internet almost entirely these days, but we're not doing it through the browser anymore. So I think
the pattern that we're seeing here is that technology is taking a backseat in being that it is definitely the enabler, but people are really interested in completing their scenarios. What is it that they want to do? And correspondingly, technology is enabling them with these constrained apps which ensure, hey, I'm interested in this aspect during this time, I would be doing that, rather than getting me access to the whole of internet or whatever that is through the Chrome and whatnot. So that aspect and that paradigm shift has really happened. I mean, it's moved beyond the, that critical mass, which means that is the reality. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing that in even enterprise scenarios. Yes, it was the consumer scenarios that did take the lead. However, what we're seeing is even the enterprise scenarios are lighting up in that fashion, which is where SharePoint app and Teams and all these important collaboration and productivity apps also see apps rather than a polyglot surface where you can do everything is coming around.
Can you talk about Android for Work and Intune and the path going forward?
Probably better the product team handles that. They have done some work to change the notifications and the amount of noise that happens when you enroll, for example, enabling bulk enrollment and such. But I'm going to be refocusing my efforts on that actually in about a month here.
Okay.
Hit me up on the
And where's the best place? Is there a consumer place where folks can learn more about Intune and Android?
Yeah, actually, if you look on the a lot of the blogs have information on the Microsoft.com. If you just do a Microsoft.com blog search for Intune and Android, there's a couple actually key active people that are there on a regular
basis.
Keep
people up to date. Great. Can you configure Intune to automatically approve OS application updates based on patch confidence score?
Patch confidence score, I am not sure, but you can set the minimum. You can set minimum compliance requirements, yes.
So to do an automatic approve if conditions are met.
Yeah. So that scenario you hit on, probably in that question, they hit on three or four different variables. Not all of them are configurable today. It's kind of, you can get 50 to 60% of there with today's configuration. So I wouldn't say it's not the full scenario where it's just automatic for everything. Because the admin still has to go in and set some of the constraints and levels and such.
Okay. Is there an effort to enable Intune MAM capabilities on more mobile applications, both Microsoft and in the industry?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's an absolute focus for, and this goes not only to, say, the Cloud and Enterprise or Intune and System Center team. This is across anyone from the Office apps to Power apps. We're even looking at our LOB apps.
Yeah.
So we're focused across all things from a MAM perspective for how do we implement across all of our application suites, not just, say, Office.
Even our supportability scenarios, our field agent scenarios that we have, which is LOB apps, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're all focused now on they're not really the traditional way that we think of. It's all in the same line of having this modern experience delivered on mobile devices.
So the next question, I think, touches upon that. In the future, do you see the eventual loss of most of the office desktop / laptops and the total adoption of mobile devices, Azure, Intune, and enterprises?
Oh, man.
it's taken it a little.
That's amazing, actually, yeah. Eventually, maybe. I mean, I'll just risk my prediction capabilities here. The way we are going, yes, there are going to be niche areas where you would definitely require a beefy desktop, laptop to accomplish your scenarios, definitely. But if you're just a regular productivity worker and the tablet form factor or the mobile form factor could be a more effective way to get your work done. It's all a matter of what is the most effective form factor to accomplish your work in the best possible manner.
Right, so the hardware won't dictate what you do. You'll
exactly.
dictate what hardware
exactly.
you'll need.
Which is where I was talking about. Technology is now really starting to become more the enabler rather than the in-your-face, hey, you need to know this technology aspect that is coming out.
And I think outside of the enterprise, there is a lot of other movements happening that may keep a desktop or a laptop relevant. I mean, we look at Windows apps and even our Windows gaming division are really making a push to make Windows 10 gaming something that's relevant again, meaning that somebody like me will never get rid of my desktop because there's no way I'm going to be playing Forza on a tablet, but I will definitely be playing it on an Alienware.
Absolutely.
So. In the enterprise, I think, though, I would definitely switch over to, say, Android tablets and Windows tablets, but will we ever see a complete eradication of desktops and laptops? No, because I think there's going to be a lot of consumer purposes that are still going to be relevant.
Yeah.
We just may not be bringing them to work as much in the future,
yeah.
mm-hmm. unless we're gaming at work. That's not happening.
One good example is our Surface Book line of products,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's a tablet and a laptop. So the form factor is, you can choose to have the form factor that is best suited for your work to
mm-hmm.
do. So those changes definitely are going to happen in the hardware space, just like we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
It's just going to be.
So let's get in one final question. As a large enterprise, we've moved all remote access of web-based applications through Azure Application Proxy. Which means users have loved the single sign-on benefits between apps. Because of the mention of an optimal experience in mobile apps, is there anything on the roadmap, whether from device providers, Apple, Android, or Microsoft, that would also help with single sign-on between native mobile apps on iOS and Android?
This is more of a single sign-on. I mean, the
across
single,
the world.
Exactly. So that's a very single sign-on in the traditional enterprise was an easy animal to handle because you were within the
you
perimeter.
Were in control.
Now with BYOD and the internet coming into picture, the single sign-on piece is definitely broken in some scenarios, and there is a cohesive effort. Industry-wide, not just within Microsoft, to be honest, right, to ensure that that experience can be brought back in some form or factor. How soon can that be accomplished? We definitely don't have an answer at this point in time, especially because client now has taken multiple undertones. Traditionally, a client would have meant a web client. Now it could be a native app on the mobile device, or it could be a thick client as you would have on a traditional desktop. So those connotations are really what is adding to the challenges that we have in the SSO space.
Okay. That was a great final question. Yeah. So now we are near the end of our hour, and I do want to ask our SMEs one final question, and that is, what is the one tip you would like to leave our customers with today?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm going to start with Mike.
I'll keep it fairly simple. I've talked a lot today. I would say embrace mobility. So I think people, at least IT in general, really needs to get rid of that old way of thinking of the cloud is scary. How am I going to implement my security requirements? I think you really need to peel the onion back to what are my core scenarios and what do I need to protect? And really embrace that mobile, not a phone experience, mobile experience, meaning remote or whatever. Mobile is not
anywhere,
a mobile
always.
Phone.
Yeah.
Embrace that experience because whether you want to or not, your users are going to embrace it and are embracing it wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And as I see the new changes, We talked about tablet form factor. The changes in educational space, for example, when you have sixth graders that are doing 90% of their workload on a tablet, be it Microsoft, Google, Android, anything, when they're doing 90% of their work on a tablet and that's the environment they're growing up in, that's the environment you're going to have to manage in 10 years. You need to plan for that now. You need to make an assumption that people are going to be working on different form factors. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid of it. Embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Great tip there. As we embrace mobility, definitely the backend that supports these experiences need to be scalable, reliable, and available globally, which is where the cloud comes in very importantly. And also, we also touched upon how the culture of the teams, the way you structure your teams, the DevOps philosophy needs to be embedded right from the get-go, rather than a band-aid that you would put on a subsequent date, assuming as a reactionary measure. One of the most important trends that we're seeing now is around the application of AI, machine learning, and data science to mm-hmm. the aspects around telemetry, usage scenarios, user behavior, not only just in the consumer space to monetize usage, but also on the enterprise scenarios too, because that effectively means your employees become more productive, and which means you definitely get long value in the long run. So invest in solutions that get you to move the needle, because if you don't do it, there are going to be competitors who will do it, and you would lose out in the marketplace. So DevOps, investing in DevOps, telemetry, applying data science on your scenarios, and getting that value out, which is possible now because of the power of the cloud, which was not easy in the traditional world.
I guess the only last piece, building on Mike's embrace mobility, would be embrace apps. I mean, apps are going to be a huge key to making this successful. It covers the bring your own device and corporate provided space. The best thing is, and speaking from the SharePoint piece, it is so much easier to have people use an app that is being developed by competent developers that are trying to develop across multiple devices than it is for me to have to support, you know, making sure that a web page looks as good on every single device, when really, at the end of the day, the app will do the job as good or better. So definitely embrace apps, and if you haven't, start using them, playing with them, giving us feedback, getting feedback from your own customer, or your own customer employee base, and just embrace the app.
Okay, we are near the top of the hour, and I want to thank our SMEs for coming today. Thank you for taking time away from your day jobs to come talk to our customers. And thank you for joining us. We truly love the questions and the dialogue and the opportunity to come talk to you. This video will be posted on our website, microsoft.com/IT showcase, along with a lot of resources available for you about how we do IT here at Microsoft. We have technical case studies, business case studies, articles, other videos, a wealth of information. We also hold these live events about every week, so we hope to have you back. Please join us again and bring your colleagues. Thank you, and have a great day.